Good morning. Today is Monday. Gee, October's halfway gone already. This is not right. Monday, October the 16th. Joining us this morning is Redwood Capital, pinch hitter.
Pinch hitter, yes.
I guess, it's playoffs, postseason, so pinch hitter for the bank, dude. We got Jennifer Budwig with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got a couple different things that we can talk about this morning. The emergency, the fire, all that stuff going on. Thankfully, it looks like it's starting to get corralled a little bit down south. We'll mm-hmm. talk a little bit about some of the potential impacts. I had some interesting conversations about that last week. And also perhaps some insights about the pending legalization. You know, I try to steer the show away from that because it's just so easy to do it every week, every day.
Right.
It just kind of gets a little redundant, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
However, a perspective from Purple when we get there.
Okay.
If you see Jennifer today, that'll make sense. Our quote this morning, let's see if we can find something. That's not really. Yeah, we could do so. Yeah, this is the simple, easy one. Discussion makes the sweetest comments. I know, a little weird, but that's okay. I could have gone to the love quote book, and that really would have been disturbing.
Thank you for not doing that.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, my favorite saying is live in the attitude of gratitude. I just love that saying because I think, first of all, it says a lot, but then secondly, when you see what has been going on down south this last week, it definitely makes you pause for reflection on just everything in your life and all the blessings that you have and how fortunate and lucky we are for having a roof over our head and having family and friends and living in a beautiful area. And sometimes those kinds of tragedies are a good reminder for all of us to be grateful for everything that we have in our lives.
Well.
Yeah.
But, the bumper sticker says lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Oh, I really like that one, too, especially when you're driving crazy to hurry up and get here to Talk Shop when the traffic is horrendous.
Yeah. When the joys of live radio. With the fires that were going on, that are going on down south of us, and they were going on up north of us also, I don't think that a lot of folks have contemplated fire. Now, in the agrarian community, you've got ranchers and farmers and stuff. Yeah, fires are probably more commonplace, not to that magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
When you're working with business folks, do you play the what-if game, the plan Bs, the various scenarios? Is that part of good management, good practices?
I think it's there's kind of a global aspect to that. And first of all, fire insurance is always going to be required on any loans that we do from the standpoint of if there is a fire, then that replacement is always going to be mandatory. So, but then there's other types of insurances out there. You've got earthquake insurance, which I think still has a pretty high deductible. I think they've gotten a lot better where those, it's not quite as expensive as it used to be. But we definitely have people who carry earthquake insurance, even though it's not required. And then flood insurance is something that is, every time that we do a loan where the property is going to be secured by real estate, the loan's going to be secured by real estate, we have to run a flood certification. If it has
just to make sure you're out of the flood zone?
Correct. And if it comes back that it's in a flood zone, then we do have to get the flood insurance coverage. And that is, we have zero latitude on that. That is a mandate. And it's one of the regulatory sticking points. So it's always something they're looking for. First of all, that you run the flood cert. And then there's certain notification requirements as far as time frames. And that you have the adequate flood coverage. And it is really challenging, I'll be honest. In regards to, someone's probably calling me to tell me that they're listening to me on Talk Shop.
Yeah, I figure it's fan
sorry.
Mail.
That's embarrassing. No. I just shut that off.
See you, John.
So, excuse me. So the fire is going to be required. And it's funny, I was at the gym on Saturday morning and I was talking with an insurance agent there, and they have an office in Santa Rosa. And he was just talking about how, you know, this is one of those times where people will reflect on their coverage and look at it. And because it's one of those things where you're always kind of betting the odds that you're never going to have to make that kind of a claim. And then all of a sudden, when you have to go make that kind of a claim, then you're really dissecting what your coverage is. And a lot of times you don't look at it that thoroughly until something like this happens. And so there's, you know, everything from the amount of coverage that you have to, you know, what kinds of ancillary types of things come with that. And, you know, obviously they had, I think, over 200 claims by the end of the day on Monday alone, which was over like 100 million. That was, no, last Monday. That was just at the end of the day, Monday. So that was just the first day of when the fires had broken out. And that was, you know, 200 claims by the end of that day. It was pretty extraordinary. And like over 100 million just in that one day.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, and like I said, and then of course there's been so many since, and you know, and I was watching on the news this morning, and they were interviewing a gal, and she had just, you know, walked up to where her house had been, and it was so sad. I mean, just she was in tears, and just, you know, I mean, just one of those things you can't fathom what people are going through until you actually experience something like that yourself.
In a morbid way, I can't wait to drive down there, just to see it. You know,
a friend of mine just did, you know, and like she said, it's so surreal, you know.
Yeah, go down, hit the first, you know, Mendocino overpass, turn around, come on back. Or,
right.
You know, just not that far in, but just to get a sense of what it's all about.
Right. One of the things, too, it was kind of interesting. I think we'll be coming back to this in just a second.
Yeah. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital Bank. Jennifer, the concept that I was kind of thinking about, lasting towards the insurance, I, you know, probably talk more about it in subsequent programs, is business interruption insurance, which is always seen as very discretionary and fairly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, is that not necessarily a replacement for, but something that is going to start being on the checkoff list of, well, what do you think about in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I think that again, dependent upon your insurance carrier, and I do think that there's a lot of policies that will already incorporate those kinds of things. It's kind of like the scenarios where displacement insurance, so like these folks that have lost their homes, you know, they receive kind of an immediate check to help them with housing in the interim. As to the
it's not going
to
go too far with everybody out.
Well, I know, because that was the other thing too, that when you look at, from what I understand, it was like within those first few days after the fires broke out down in Santa Rosa, that like everything that was on the market for sale was under contract immediately, because people were just get me a house. I don't care what it is. I don't care how much it costs. Get me a house, because knowing that that's going to just be a serious issue over the next several months.
If you're a nail bender, Hey, you got a pretty good 4 or 5 years staring you in the face right now.
Yeah, because there's all those elements that come into it. So then, okay, if you're having to rebuild, you know, first of all, you have to get, you know, the site cleaned up, and then you have to deal with the insurance, having those proceeds available to rebuild. You have to do your plans. You have to get your engineering, get your permits. Then you have to find a contractor who's available, and how many contractors are going to be out there and available. So, you know, there's all those facets that go into it. So some people may be looking at, you know, 1, 2, 3 years down the road before they're even able to rebuild. And so then what do you do in the meantime as far as, you know, where do you live? And, you know, do you get an RV and put it on your site and stay there until you have the ability to rebuild? You know, I mean, there's just like so many variables, again, that play into it.
Well, hopefully Sonoma County's got large enough in their public works and their planning departments to be able to get that all together in timely fashion.
Yeah, get stuff processed. I'm sure they'll have some kind of expedited processing, I would think. One of the things I was going to mention before we went on the break was I was talking with one of our wonderful supervisors who's been super involved in trying to get assistance down there to those folks. And because I reached out to him to talk to him about, you know, is there a way Rebbe Capital Bank can help? Because we definitely want to do that. It was kind of cool. On Friday, we did a buy-in casual day. People could pay $5 or more, and then all the proceeds would go. And then the bank matched that, and then those proceeds went down south, and we raised about $1,000 from employees. So that was $2,000. I think it was a little over that. But then the question becomes, well, where do you send it? And so one of the things that Mr. Bone had said was that, you know, he's been down there. They went down immediately and did a lot of cooking down in the Santa Rosa area. And one of the areas, unfortunately, that's been, I think, a little overlooked because so much focus has been on Napa and Santa Rosa is, you know, our friends to the north, meaning the Ukiah, Mendocino folks. And, you know, the people down in the
Right around Lake County got...
Yeah, they had a pretty, there was a lot of evacuation there too, and those folks were going to Ukiah, I think the fairgrounds is my understanding.
Right.
And so, but they were sort of, the limelight was going to, especially with the press, going to Santa Rosa and Napa. And
wine trumps all.
Always. but, you know, the one thing you brought up, and I think it's a really valid point, is they're going to get so much assistance from the Bay Area, you know, in terms of money coming up to help those people and, you know, where...
And just visitors.
Yeah.
I mean, tourists. That engine will still be there once the smoke is gone. People will be there just because Santa Rosa is not so much of the tourist destination.
Right.
As is Napa.
Correct. But it's you know, the Hillsborough area, all those areas, too, have really, over the last several years, have really taken off, too, from the whole wine experience and the tourism aspect of it. So, but anyway, my point being is that the Mendocino, Ukiah areas, you know, they're probably in a little more need of assistance from the standpoint of maybe people from this area focusing their efforts in that particular region just because of so much assistance is coming from the south end towards the Santa Rosa and Napa.
One of the questions or the thoughts that I had was germane to you, was with the banking.
Mm-hmm.
So much, you know, what they say, 5,700 businesses?
Structures were burned.
And structures were knocked out. Banks, ATMs. The internet, as we experienced here,
mm-hmm.
all these things are out that are all fundamentals for banking or to getting access to.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you be able to spend? You know, the grocery store is open, great, but they can't take a credit card because the credit card machines are down.
Mm-hmm.
Cash, and nobody's going to be running around with that kind of money in advance. Well, few would. What happens to the commerce of those areas that are there? And for those folks that are looking, what happens? I mean, the whole infrastructure around technology all goes at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, so much of that is going to be dependent upon how long you're down. I mean, we were down for, what, a day and a half? Does that sound about right here?
Yeah, sometime Tuesday.
When that all occurred. And that was one of the, we were really fortunate because at Rebbe Capital Bank, we had a backup. So we had a secondary, which saved us because we were up and running and our ATMs were working and
life was okay.
Life was okay.
It's 18.
Thank you.
could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Jennifer, one of the things, and we're probably a little bit more sensitive to it in our area because of earthquakes, but in an unplanned, unanticipated emergency situation, a lot of businesses have already experienced the what if, and we've figured things out. But if the credit card machines don't work anymore because of the internet being down, and it could be the wire outside the building, it could be into the county, or it could be something in between, a lot of stuff just kind of grinds to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, electricity is probably going to be the primary thing that we experience here, bringing everything down. But what kind of contingency plans would you recommend for a business if they can't process credit cards?
Mm-hmm.
These paper things called checks or cash. I mean, it really, if we eliminated credit cards across the board for the next 4 days, I wonder what percentage of the economy disappears.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that that would be significant, because I think that as time's gone on, we certainly are seeing a more and more prominence towards the payment credit card. So checks are becoming much more obsolete, and you're even seeing businesses now that are saying they won't accept checks. And so they either take cash or credit cards, and that's their only means of payment in terms of what they'll accept. So there's, I don't know what the percentage would be in terms of if you were to actually segregate that and say, okay, X amount of payment is with cash, X amount's with check, and X amount is with credit card. It'd be interesting to see what the statistics are on that, but there's certainly a transition from checks to cards and even cash. So in that scenario, if you're down for 4 days as far as your credit cards go and processing, and we did have that example here on Tuesday, you know, where there was a lot of folks who were basically dead in the water, so to speak.
Scrambling. Yeah.
Yeah, because they didn't have the capabilities to do that. So, I mean, that was a great example of it where, but I do think that, yeah, in that scenario, people are going to have to be relying upon checks and, you know, cash, of course. And it's a good reminder that it's not a bad idea to have a little stash on hand. So in the event that you don't have access, because we always make that assumption, you're always going to have access to your money.
Stash of cash?
A stash of cash.
Good. You know, say stash in Humboldt County. And
stash of cash.
Yes, good. Okay.
Thanks for clarifying.
Another quote.
Yeah. I'm just full of them today.
You are.
So that's something you want to consider, because it is really amazing how reliant we are on technology and just power in general. And, you know, and so that Tuesday deal where basically people were down for, you know, a whole day, you know, I talked to so many people that were, we couldn't do anything on Tuesday, you know, and basically they couldn't operate their business because of it, you know. So yeah, I do think that it's important to plan accordingly, and that comes as a whole. I mean,
even with cash though, you know, how many business operators have got a cash drawer that would be significant enough to carry you for a day?
Yeah, dependent upon the business, of course.
Sure. But, I mean, if you're a restaurant, yeah, you might have a little bit more, or
yeah,
one that traditionally deals with cash. But think of a lot of the clothing stores. Probably not so much so.
I mean, they certainly would have a drawer. They've got to have a drawer. I mean, because they're going to be taking cash to some degree. It's probably minimal. So if you're walking in with your $100 bills, you might have some problems, you know, making change. But I think for the most part, people still do have a cash drawer. In our community, we certainly do have cash that rolls around this county. And so I would think that there's most of them continue to have cash drawers.
Might have to round it off a little bit.
Yeah.
What about things like automatic deposit?
ACHs, things like that.
Yeah. Is that also technology dependent? Mm-hmm. Or would those occur automatically? I mean, if somebody doesn't get paid and they're expecting paid.
Right.
Okay, now we got a whole different ripple that's going on, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because all of a sudden they thought that money was going to be there, and
it's not. Let's say it's this Friday instead of last Monday.
Right. And some people, where they're living paycheck to paycheck, I mean, that could certainly create a huge hardship. Yeah. But that's like what I was saying on Tuesday when most people were down. Unfortunately, yay, 101 NetLink, they had us up and going. And so we could process all of that because we were, you know, our systems were going. But you know, most weren't. So you're right. There's a huge ripple down impact as a result of that.
So as a business consultant type gal, how far do you play out the contingencies before the risk benefit equation becomes upside down?
Well, again, I think kind of as a whole, there's a lot of, and you're right, I think that a lot of people have thought about this more from like the earthquake aspect. You know, if we did have an earthquake here and we were cut off, you know, what does that look like? And you're right, as far as you could do the one-day scenarios, you could do a one-week scenario, you could do a one-month scenario. But I do think, and again, this kind of a tragedy, as horrible as it is, it provides an opportunity to be thinking about those things. You know, what if that fire had happened here? You know, and what are our backup plans? And how do we deal with that? And again, when we see something like that happen, I do think that it causes people to take a minute and reflect on that, which is a really, really good thing. I think it's important.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We shall return.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 847. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig. Jennifer is kind of being the ace in the financial area regarding the marijuana industry, or at least, I guess, by default, you is.
By default?
Yeah, we'll just kind of leave it there and let it go on. Have you any clarification in your crystal ball about what's going to happen January 1st?
I don't have... My crystal ball is very, very cloudy because, you know, you're hearing mixed things. Obviously, the prices are coming down in terms of what it's being sold for right now. And I did talk with one of my friends who's very heavily tied into that industry, and she's just a wonderful resource for me. And, you know, one of the things she said is that people who have their distribution channels in place and operate their business as a business, meaning they're going to keep an eye on expenses, they're going to adapt to this change in the prices. You know, her outlook is they're going to be fine. I mean, their margins might be squeezed a bit, but they certainly, you know, I mean, it's on its way to basically being a commodity like any other ag product would, but there's still room there. And then you also have other things I'm hearing about in terms of businesses that are looking at opening up that will cater to the industry. Everything from a $13 million project that would be specific to processing that's supposed to be employing 300 people to a building here in Eureka that's supposed to be a wellness facility that will incorporate that element to it as well as overall wellness. I'm not too sure what that's going to look like when it's done, but there are certainly going to be businesses opening up, maybe not on January 1st, that day, but soon thereafter. And in terms of what those are going to look like, and the upshot is that that could provide additional employment, which of course is always wonderful to see. So hopefully that will be part of this. And if you get those businesses that are run as businesses, they're paying their taxes, they're operating under the same rules that we have to operate under, and they just join us as part of commerce in the county, I mean, I think that that's going to certainly provide some business opportunities for people. So I think there's going to be a lot to be seen over the next couple of years, but I mean, there certainly is a flood of cannabis on the market, which has led to the reduced prices. Is that kind of an anomaly? I know last year the flood had already hit and prices were coming down and people were holding on to it, not selling it, thinking that they may go back up this year. But of course, growing only multiplied over this last year as well, which
the destabilization of that economy, which is kind of what we're dancing around, is that healthy? Or is that just a natural byproduct of what's going on?
I think it's a natural byproduct. I mean, to me, the handwriting was on the wall in regards to eventually we were going to get here, you know, with the legalization aspect of it. But it also, my question would be, even if it wasn't legalized, you know, the supply component of it is what's driving those prices down. So,
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
There's another quote. See, we start with one, we end with one. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
See everybody tomorrow.